I am so excited that the summer season is finally here. I love summer. I love the nice weather. I just want to be outside and not hassling inside with what to cook and what to eat for every single meal, which is why Factor is my go-to for all of my healthy, chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes that take the hassle out of eating well. Factor meals arrive fresh and ready to eat and are perfect for any active lifestyle for summer and beyond. With 45 weekly meal options, you can pick gourmet meals that fit your summer goals. You can choose from options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto, and more. Factor powers your day from sunup to sundown with those nutritious breakfasts, on-the-go lunches, premium dinners, and guilt-free snacks and desserts. Factor has your whole day covered. I've absolutely loved having Factor in my life. It's made the decision-making process on what to eat and how much time I need to be in the kitchen so much easier. So get started at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off and use code barbknowsbest50off to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. That's code barbknowsbest50off at factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off for 50% off plus free shipping. factormeals.com/barbknowsbest50off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So, Mom, you and I have talked about purpose a ton in our personal lives. I think since probably as far as I can remember, the concept of purpose, the idea of purpose, and how we, the two of us personally and within our family, how we've identified and defined purpose has been a really big role in our lives. And just like with everything else, I think over time it's evolved for us. And I'm really excited to chat about how we view purpose in this era of our lives, because I think that in this iteration of it, it might be more accessible and digestible for people because, at least for me, always talking from my own lived experience, purpose has often felt elusive. It's maybe felt unattainable or unreachable or something that some lucky few are born with. You know, I know I want to be a doctor. I know I want to be a lawyer. Those, you know, pie in the sky dreams that we hear that people have from childhood. That wasn't me. And even after graduating college, trying out jobs, being in different circumstances and situations, it still felt elusive. And so I often let that fuel feelings of self-doubt, unworthiness, that there was something wrong with me. And so for any of our listeners or viewers who might resonate with those feelings or identify with that mindset, this episode I think is really going to be for them. I mean, for everyone, of course, but I'm just hoping that this conversation and how we can start to break down and redefine, because you love redefining some of these common words, I hope it's going to be a sigh of relief and a new perspective on such a important topic.
Michelle, I couldn't agree with you more. And I do love redefining words, because I think sometimes, actually often, words like purpose, but often society defines them in one way. It's like a this way or no way. And I think purpose for me had been one of those things growing up in a traumatic household and all the things that we've talked about before. It's been that thing like, what am I supposed to be doing and what do I want to do? And I just knew that I didn't want to, I wanted to get out of the dysfunction and the chaos of childhood, but I also wanted to make it. So it was like, what is it I'm going to do? And I love this episode because I think we're going to define purpose as, for me, purpose is what is life asking of me in this moment? And what can I do to actually elevate, you know, my self-worth? As you said, sometimes it really depletes our self-love and self-worth and how we feel about ourselves and all the things. And we feel like we're on a treadmill just going. But is this what I'm really supposed to be doing? So I'm excited too about this conversation of helping people understand that it's not just this one big magical thing that we have to find before we die.
Right.
It's actually fluid.
Yep.
It's actually something that we're doing probably some version of it every single day.
Moment to moment.
Yeah, moment to moment. And that the most important thing that we can do when we're looking for purpose is discovering what do we value.
Right.
What is our intention? You know, what is it that we truly want out of life internally, which we talked a lot about in the last episode with intuition and intention and all of those things, instead of only looking externally, what is the path that I'm supposed to be taking? Mm-hmm. And once I find that, then life is going to be golden.
Yeah. Can we say the same thing?
Use the same word.
I love it. We spend a lot of time together.
We do.
So you mentioned your path. As you've discussed often on many episodes, growing up in a traumatic environment, chaotic household, very little money, their privilege wasn't there at that time to even consider purpose. You know, I think, like you said, you just went out and got a bunch of jobs so that you could give your family some extra money. And I think that's an important aspect to your story of purpose because it's in that journey that you started working at McDonald's and that you found a sense of belonging in an era of your life that you didn't have it, and you found purpose there and you found structure there. And that chapter or that entry point in McDonald's, you know, took you so far. So can you talk about how maybe sometimes purpose can come in really unexpected places or come from unexpected opportunities? Because I think so often, because so many of us have these grandiose visions of purpose and often maybe look down upon jobs or roles or duties that aren't worthy of the title of purpose. Can you talk about how those jobs you picked up in high school when you were a young adult and then ultimately McDonald's, how that fueled your road to purpose?
Well, in high school, I had 5 jobs.
Yep.
You know, I was delivering newspapers. I was washing hair in a hair salon. I was selling clothes in a dress salon. I worked at McDonald's. And the McDonald's job really landed the most for me because it was the most demanding, but it was also the most creative.
Hmm.
I loved.
Creative?
Yeah. I got to really actually showcase what all I could do. So when I think of creativity, I think, how can I actually use myself, use my thoughts, use mm-hmm. my actions, use my abilities, and actually show myself off.
Display every aspect of me.
And every time I did something well there, I got so much praise. I got so much applause. I was, oh my gosh, you are just amazing. Now can you do this? And so I would figure out, how can I do this to the best of my ability? So I think for me, creativity is really linked to my energy and my enthusiasm about being my best.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really loved it. I loved the job. I loved what I was doing. They loved me. So I got so much applause and acknowledgement and validation that it started to raise my sense of self-worth, as you were saying before. It raised my ability, like, wow, I'm not a loser.
Mm.
I can actually accomplish things in the external world. And I can do all of these things and people are acknowledging me and I'm good at it.
Mm-hmm.
What it did the most was, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I never thought of purpose back then. I never thought of any of these things that we're talking about today. And life is so different today because this was 1970, 71.
Right.
So I thought, well, this is for me. So I didn't think of this as my purpose, but I thought of, this is what I'm doing. I love it. They love me. And I actually feel good about myself. So fast forward through all of that, all of the times in McDonald's and all the times doing all of that. And it had the structure that, as you said, that I didn't have as a child. But it also gave me the ability to build upon my own sense of, what can I actually do? And I love the fact that I could do that. So I guess if we were going to identify that as purpose, I would have to say that, yeah, I thought I'd be doing McDonald's for the rest of my life.
Right.
I thought I would just keep going and going and going, and that this is what I'm meant to be doing. It was giving me everything that I needed. And any of you that have listened to our episodes over the past few years, you know, it led me down a real rabbit hole of bulimia. And because it was only external validation, it was what you might call the external thing that I was doing that I was thriving. I literally lost everything internally because I didn't really have anything internally because it was all driven by what everyone out there was saying about me, thinking about me, and all of the things that I accomplished, which was extraordinary, really. Right. So I felt, as I look at my life now and looking at purpose and creativity and all of the things, there isn't just one way to do it. There isn't just one path. There isn't just, if I were going to stay firm and rigid to McDonald's is my way, I have to make it work. I don't know if I'd be sitting here today.
Well, you wouldn't.
Well, I don't even know if I wouldn't be doing this work, but I don't even know if I'd be alive.
Interesting.
You know, when you're looking at a disorder, an eating disorder as bulimia, yeah, it's how I checked myself into treatment, thinking that I was going to die. So I love the idea of helping people understand that rigidity is not a part for me, my experience of purpose or creativity or life's dreams and wishes. And what really has solidified me in my life has been, what do I value?
Right.
What do I want? What is my intention?
Right.
So I love talking about McDonald's gave me that first teaching in structure and foundation that I needed because it really set a lot of the groundwork of, you know, I'm very disciplined in a lot of things that I do, like my meditation, my mindfulness, all my practices. But it's also fluid.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting as you were talking and how you said that in your childhood, picking up the jobs, you were just looking for that next right thing in your life. And it happened to be McDonald's. And that led you to the next right thing, to the next right thing. And now you're here. But what's interesting and what came to me as you were saying that, when I was in a chapter of my life when I had left my corporate job and was feeling unfulfilled or unsatisfied in the role that I was fulfilling at that time and didn't necessarily feel like I was on the quote-unquote right path, I felt super overwhelmed by the concept of privilege, the privilege of purpose and the concept of purpose, thinking that it had to be some big thing. Like if I could home in on it and figure it out in that moment, then everything else would be really easy. And at the time I was talking to a life coach and she said to me, you know, can you stop trying to figure out all of the big answers and solutions to this huge question of life purpose? And instead, can you start to follow the breadcrumbs of the small things that light you up in everyday life and follow those things? Because those little things that you can look out for or that you can be guided by will then lead you on that path. And I really embraced that concept of following the breadcrumbs. Shout out to Allison, who helped me to really take the pressure off of myself in that moment and just go from one thing to the next to the next. But it's interesting. I've never thought about it in this way of that's really what you did too back when you were a kid, following the breadcrumbs, McDonald's, then Ronald McDonald's Children's Charities, identifying your love of humanity and helping others to now here we are sitting having this conversation. So if you are someone who feels like you were born with this very clear, confident sense of purpose, that's amazing, obviously. But if you're not, can you start to embrace this concept of following the breadcrumbs, of being open, of being curious, of being creative, to use a lot of the words you've said already, of what could be, what's outside of the box, or where your life is trying to take you, and see if you can release a little bit of pressure along the way?
I do think that that's so important, that we actually stay open, receptive, and curious to whatever life is going to send our way, because you never know what's going to happen.
You don't.
Like you just mentioned, you know, I'm in McDonald's, but I never would have imagined that the opportunity that one of the presidents of the Caribbean McDonald's, because I was in South Florida, came to me and said, would you start the Ronald McDonald Children's Charities of South Florida?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what, me?
Which is now Ronald McDonald House.
Which is part of the Ronald McDonald House. But I remember thinking the moment, me? And I remember thinking, I have goosebumps now even saying it, like, this is amazing. So I would never have thought that those two could get connected, or that could be a path where I could start to do something that in that moment,
right,
the creativity in my brain and, oh my gosh, this is really lighting me up inside. So there's really a thing about really listening, you know, to what your heart or feeling your heart or feeling that gut instinct that said, yes, I want to do that. So you never know. And I think always having the door open, and even if you do know, I'm meant to be here and this is going to be my path, or this is going to be my work, my life's work. I would imagine if we had a conversation together that there would be places along the way where you had opportunities that came a long way that took you in a little bit of another direction, maybe still doing your same work, but there were a lot of other beautiful, interesting things that may have come along. So I think the idea that we don't know and that we're actually just doing what life is putting in front of us, and that the purpose is fluid and is not just some rigid thing, is so important. But I also just wanted to say something about me having all of my external things with McDonald's really giving me my self-esteem and my self-worth. And I said, you know, it took a little detour and a very serious one, that eventually what I believe happens, and we're going to talk about some of the steps that lead us there, is the two come together. The outside world and the inner world come together so beautifully. Like, we can have all the things we need in the external world, you know, applause or praise or whatever it is we're looking
success.
For, an accomplishment and success. But we also need to have that coming from the inner world or the inner life. So the inner world in my mind is just as powerful and just as real, because sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, one or the other, but no, it's both.
Right.
And I would love for you to share, though, before I turn it back over, I would love for you to share just a little glimpse of how you, what happened when you graduated from college.
Right.
And the job that you thought you were going to have, where you thought maybe that might have been your purpose.
Yeah, that is a good point about purpose and being able to pivot and being open, because you can't predict life and you can't control life, as we know. And the world is unpredictable. So I graduated from college in 2008 with a journalism degree, thinking that I was going to go get an internship at a magazine and work my way up the ladder at a magazine and be, you know, those one of those kinds of people that I saw in the movies, like Andy Anderson and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or something like that, of being in journalism in that way. And for those of you who were alive at that time or can remember, like, you know, the market in the U.S. crashed in 2008, media, print media, journalism really took a dive. And so no one was really hiring in that field. You know, I reached out to so many sources, went on so many interviews, did a lot to try and secure a spot, and it wasn't working. I was offered a lot of unpaid internships, which, you know, wasn't going to pay the bills and wasn't going to pay rent. So I really had to pivot and be open to something else, because I knew that what I was seeking wasn't available. And you know, I was young. This was my early 20s. And so I don't know if this was some sort of wisdom, but more just, I guess, following the breadcrumbs in a different way. But as chance would have it, my friends were out at a bar in Chicago one night and were talking to some guys who had just moved to the States to open up an office, and they were hiring. And, you know, great friends that they were said, we have a friend who's looking for a job. Can you interview her? And they're like, yeah, here's our information. Have her reach out. And so when they came back and told me that they had met these guys at a bar who were looking to hire someone, I was a little, didn't really know what I was going to be signing up for or what the job was going to entail. But, you know, long story short, it was a job at a trading firm at the Board of Trade in Chicago, and they needed someone to work in the office. And those were skills that I could do and I could learn on the job. And it was great. And it worked out amazingly for me, and I learned so much. But kind of what's cool to think about this now, hindsight is 2020, really revisiting my path and how I got here today. And I actually just talked to him a few days ago and mentioned this to him. But my boss at that job, who was one of my really dear friends and still is, I would say about 3 or 4 years into the job, I had written an article for the company newsletter during the holidays of what was happening in our office. And he said to me, you know, you're a really great writer. And I feel like you have a lot more skills than what you're able to display or give in this job. And I don't think that this job is going to serve you down the road. Like, you should really be doing something that's more meaningful or has more impact or that can really display your writing. And at the time, I was like, no, I love this job. I love you guys. Like, we're good. But as, of course, we're sitting here today talking, and I'm in the process of about to publish my first book, and we work at a nonprofit, I credit him all the time for planting that seed within me to pivot again and to go back to those roots of my interests and what the breadcrumbs that lit me up from the inside out. And so, yeah, from there, I ultimately quit the job and did a little bit of a first full circle moment. So all of that to say, I never knew what my purpose was in all of that. But what really sustained me and got me through was just showing up and being open and listening to the inner voice that we've talked about on the show. And when it was time to make a change or to take an action, even if it was scary, I was open to it and listened and did the next right thing.
Could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environments right now. I had no idea. They're in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. But the good news is we don't have to suffer through this anymore because of Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. And here's what's cool about them. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like hormonal changes or the environment around us. Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and they're dedicated to making women's lives easier. How amazing is that? And this means that they only use science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. The biggest benefit of all of this, you can start to feel like yourself again. And this is what women mention over and over in their reviews online, and there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code BarbKnowsBest at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code BarbKnowsBest for 15% off today. I'm going to let you all in on a little secret. My mom and I have always been a big berry family, which means we've always had berries in the fridge, which is why I've been absolutely loving Washington Red Raspberries. They are the shortcut to delicious because Washington Red Raspberries are picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in bright, sweet tart flavor with no added sugars or preservatives. Just the good stuff. I've been loving having these frozen berries in my freezer so I can put them in smoothies, put them in baked goods, all of the delicious stuff without all of the fuss. These berries aren't a byproduct of fresh. They're crafted specifically to be frozen, which means they're better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. They're grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, and they're frozen with care to ensure the top quality and food safety. Plus, frozen fruit lasts longer, helps cut food waste, and is always ready when you are, which we absolutely love. You can find Washington Red Raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers like Kroger, Meijer, Winco Foods, and Costco. And always make sure to look for the product of the U.S. on the bag. They're also featured in popular products like Smucker's Uncrustables with red raspberry filling, as well as Smucker's Raspberry Jam. So, want to learn more on where to find American frozen red raspberries plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find participating retailers and inspiration for every meal, plus info on how those berries can go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste. I think we all seek to try and age with grace and have a little bit more control over our aging process, which is why I've been absolutely loving getting results from my TrueAge test from True Diagnostic. True age tests give us our biological age, which is different than our calendar age, because biological age is a powerful indicator of how fast we're aging internally, which directly predicts our risk for serious diseases. And here's why that matters. Research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, but it's also avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in our hands. It's driven by things like lifestyle, habits, and the environment that we're in, which means we do actually have a lot of control over it. I've loved getting my results from my TrueAge test because I learned how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was really eye-opening. The test was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, no doctor visit or big needles, just a quick, painless finger prick. I sent it off in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, I got my detailed report about my aging and my health. Fast and hassle-free. If you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use our code LIFEHAPPENS to get 20% off your entire order or prescription. That's truediagnostic.com and use LIFEHAPPENS at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you.
I'm so happy you shared that. And now you're launching your book. I'm so excited for that.
And it's wild.
I feel like it takes the pressure off. If you're listening to this and watching it and all of that, if you get anything out of this, like take the pressure off and really just allow yourself to not feel like I've got to only do the one right thing that I think is only the one right thing or the one thing that I have to be doing. And I think your story is so beautiful because what happened is you found some community.
Yeah.
You found ways to support yourself in terms of financially, but also in terms of your life. And like, okay, now I can feel free to really be a little bit more creative and more curious, what we've just been talking about. And I think that's what helps us overcome any doubts or overcome anything where we think, oh my gosh, I'm not actually doing what I think I need to be doing or what I want to be doing. I got to find my purpose. Because you've got community now that's supporting you, and you actually did a lot of the things coming forward, just like when I said I never thought McDonald's would lead me to Ronald McDonald Children's Charities, which was a nonprofit, which led me to the nonprofit that you and I founded together.
Yeah.
And I think if you just look at all of that, no one would ever have imagined, and certainly not I would never imagine, that I could have laid all of that out that way.
Well, you can't.
No, that's
my point. Like that quote,
yeah.
You make plans and God laughs or something like that. I could have planned so many things for my life outside of job, outside of purpose that did not happen and that have not happened in the way that I had imagined it as a child. So it really feels like throw that out and just show up and be open and curious.
Exactly. And I have to bring up this quote that really had helped me during all of the times when I was reading, because I'm very much into quotes and very much into teachings and stuff. Yes.
I've never heard that before.
Yes. This quote is huge because it really helped me with not only purpose, but it helped me with my life and understanding. And I'm going to go back a little bit to the inner world, outer world. And that's Carl Jung's quote, who looks outside dreams, who looks inside awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have the dream and look outside. So we have to have a point of reference of moving forward and what is life asking me to do and not being so rigid, but being committed.
Mm-hmm.
And having some discipline and having some structure, but also having some desires and starting to cultivate. I didn't know what I valued most. So entering into Ronald McDonald Children's Charities and that whole nonprofit world and helping people, it awakened all the things that I learned in my 60s and during the whole movements back there in the 60s. I thought, I remember one time waking up and thinking, I'm an activist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want change. I want people's lives to be better. I want to do all of these things. So I love the following the breadcrumbs. I love the idea of how can you just start to be more open, receptive, curious, and understanding that the outside world can give you, you know, the applause and everything. But also, once you're dreaming in the outside world, like Carl Jung says, awaken to the inner world that's going to be your guide, that's going to say, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. This is what I value most. Because for me, values is the unchangeable thing in life.
Well, the values change with you.
Well, you kind of set a value. Like, I know what I do value that's non-negotiable.
Right.
Like humanity and all of the humanitarian things that I feel and that I do and the activism in me. I know that that's non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else changes. Nothing else in life stays the same, but your values can stay pretty solid.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to know who you, because it really leads to who you are and all the conversation we had in the last episode, which could be a good way, if you haven't listened to that episode, to go back and hear that one, because it really, this one pivots off of that one.
Yeah.
So I love your story so much.
Thanks, Mom.
I think it's really great. And I think how do you, you know, it's interesting for me because one of the things you have taught me a lot is with your writing, because it is so magnificent, the journaling skill. That I feel that has also helped me to get to know what I value. If you want to talk a little bit about how is journaling now, because you're really a big proponent of journaling and written about it a lot, how has that practice really helped you define your values and purpose and curiosity and creativity?
Yeah, journaling for sure was a huge practice for me when I started to really seek out and to prioritize connecting with myself and learning more about who I am and what I want and becoming my own best friend, you know, as we talk about on the show so often. Of course, there was meditation and mindfulness and yoga practices that we've talked about. But oftentimes for me, journaling was that practice of A, giving my thoughts a home and starting to understand what was happening in my mind day in and day out and giving me, it was almost like a temperature check of what were my emotions, what was I thinking, how was I feeling moment to moment. And, you know, being introduced to different journaling practices and just understanding that it's a worthwhile tool to uncover things about yourself that might be buried or that you didn't know before was hugely transformational for me, especially when I was given The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, which is a book and a practice and just a lifestyle, really, because it never ends and it's always with you. That encourages daily journaling and, you know, in my words, is a brain dump of releasing thoughts from the mind so that the creativity can come out of you and the things that you're most passionate about can come forward and so that you're not so clouded by doubt and uncertainty and judgment, all of the thoughts that tend to hold us back. And so that was a huge piece for me. And it did help to reframe purpose and my purpose before figuring out necessarily the big thing. And what was interesting for me from that practice, but even in our conversations together, is that yes, you can have one big life purpose of doing this work that you're doing. You're very confident in that you are doing exactly what you are meant to be doing and what you were put here on earth at this time for. But there's also, and I love this version of it as well, like daily purpose of showing up moment to moment and what is this day asking of you and how is this day asking you to behave or act. And you and I did an amazing event a few years ago with Elizabeth Gilbert, the amazing author of Big Magic, which is another truly transformational book about purpose and creativity, but of course, so many other amazing books. But can you share the story that she told in that event that I think everyone in the audience was like jaw dropped, mouth open, like, oh my God, you just changed my entire life and how I view this and for us as well. So I thought we have to share it here too.
We do. And it was pretty... She's pretty magical. I love that she wrote a book, magical. Big Magic. She is one of our favorite humans and teachers and people on the planet. And if you've not read any of her books, highly recommend. And she's got a new one out now that's pretty cool. But yes, when she was, we're purpose is fluid. And it is truly what you were saying, that it is, you know, what we're doing in every moment. So she told this story, and I'll really make it very succinct. Basically, she's walking down the street.
Yeah.
And she sees a man in a ladder. And to fast forward, the man is in the ladder and she's crossing the street, or she's discovering, you know, she's walking down the street and something inside of her said, just stop.
Yeah.
And in that moment, she realized she had to help this man because he was going to fall and could, you know, die or could get critically injured or whatever it was that she was feeling what might happen. And that was the case. She was being called in that moment to help this man who was on the ladder. And when she helped the man and, you know, everything is done and everything, she's ready to go, she said to us, she said, and that was my purpose for the day.
Yeah.
And that was what I was meant to be doing for that day. And that's how I identify with purpose. Life put me in that situation. She didn't plan it.
Yep.
He didn't plan it. Life put me in that situation. And that was my purpose for the day, to help this one human being on the planet. And it literally is bringing a little bit of tears to my eyes, because that's how I feel today. If you follow us on social media, you know what we do. And if you've been listening to the podcast, you know, we put our life experiences out there. A lot of it is connected with some quotes and some teachings and some teachers. And we've used Elizabeth Gilbert a lot. And nothing in my life, when I read a comment from one of you that has made a comment or sent me a DM and said, your life experience that you just shared changed my life. Thank you so much. Nothing touches me more. Nothing gives me more satisfaction in my life, truly, than knowing that that one comment or that one experience that I shared meant that much to another human, because it is so directly connected to my value and my purpose, if you want to call it the purpose, or my reason for being here, is to share something that I can share with another human being that has helped them. And that's what Elizabeth Gilbert did on that stage.
Yeah.
And I, even though we believe all of this stuff and we've studied and we know all of this, hearing her say that one thing is my purpose. And I think she even went on to say, if life ended today, I will have known that I, fulfilled my purpose in life.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel when you all send something to me that says that, because that's what we're, for me, that's kind of what I think all of us are meant to be doing, but that's not my place to judge that or to say that about other people. But it really is our thing. If we can actually share one thing to another person where it actually helps them shift their thought process to something that can help change their life for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not such a solid, strict thing. It really is just, as you said earlier, living that one moment, one day at a time thing that life is calling us to do or to be.
Yeah, I really love that story and that example that she shared, that she was in that right place at the right time where she was able to help that man on the ladder. And that gave her such a sense of relief and fulfillment that she showed up in a way that she was being called. And how simple but powerful is that? And so, yeah, not every moment is going to have such, you know, high highs
dramatic.
And low lows and dramatics. But it is also that same concept of staying the path, listening to your inner voice, following the breadcrumbs, following the tiny joys that we talk about, and showing up when you're being asked to show up, like Elizabeth Gilbert was with the man on the ladder. And again, that's not the grandiose sense of purpose, but that is a powerful purpose, and that is a fulfilling purpose, and that's the purpose that we can look for in those everyday moments if we're open to and aware of them, where we can really feel that our presence matters, that our actions matter, and that we matter in a much more connected and powerful, positive way. So I'm super grateful for her for sharing that with us all those years ago, because it's stuck in my mind ever since.
It takes away the pressure, I think, that we can actually, if we just be where our feet are, we talk about that quite often, like be in the present moment.
Yeah.
It takes away the pressure of the most satisfaction that we can get in life is truly just being available to the present moment. And being curious and being open to whatever it has to present, because we have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is such a beautiful way to think about our lives. Like, we don't know. Life is so unpredictable. We have no idea what life is going to bring us any given moment.
Right.
But when we can be present and open and be curious about things, we never know. We could have the most amazing moment that we could never have planned. And I think one of the strategies or one of the tools that I use all the time is, of course, my meditation practice and mindfulness and being present and being where my feet are. That beautiful retreat that I was on with Thich Nhat Hanh, be where your feet are. If you're ever confused, if you're ever not sure, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert was where her feet are.
Right.
In that moment, I'm going to stay right here and see what life is asking of me. So if you're ever confused or conflicted or not sure, just be where your feet are and just kind of just take a moment. And then I love to use this practice of, you know, taking a deep breath, like all throughout the day. If you're ever confused or you're not sure, or you're conflicted or even overwhelmed. I mean, life is very overwhelming often lately. Just take a breath, you know, begin, like pause, take a few deep breaths and begin again all day long. Try that for a minute here and a minute there. That's that whole idea that if we can weave that in throughout the day, we actually have the ability to transform the uncertainty and be more open to creativity, to curiosity, and all of the things that we're actually looking for.
Right.
These little practices can help. And then the last thing I think that I do a lot of is, you know, being mindful when I'm with someone, you know, being with someone.
Right.
Like really practicing that, because I think if I think about Elizabeth Gilbert one more time, she was really with herself, with the moment, and with this man.
Right.
Like she was concerned about him and not sure what was going to happen. So
it's funny that you picked up on where I was going to take you next, because I think to kind of tie up this conversation and to close it up, you know, I think everything that we've said about purpose and redefining it is valid and powerful and makes sense, but it's not always easy to put into practice, especially when life is hard or when we're going through tough times or there is a deep sense of uncertainty or feeling lost or that life is maybe passing you by and you don't know what to do. I've been in those moments. I know you've been in those moments as well. So what can you say to our listeners about having the self-compassion to move through through those times? And also you've mentioned the power of community to me. So can you speak on that as sort of a how you view it as a life raft in these difficult times?
I think being open to teachings from like doing a lot of reading, doing a lot of, you know, first of all, being starting the journey of being connected inwardly to that inner voice, to that sense of knowing. And the way I started that journey, you know, actually coming out of treatment from bulimia, but the way I started that journey was starting to read, starting to see who are the people that are talking like the Elizabeth Gilberts, like Thich Nhat Hanh was a huge teacher of mine, like many of my teachers, but who are the people that are saying some of the things, like be where your feet are, was the perfect analogy that I needed to be present.
Right.
Like sometimes, oh, just be present. Well, how the heck do I do that? Well, I'm very visual and very physical, so, oh, I can figure out how to be present where my feet are. That means pay attention to what's happening right now where I am. So like finding those teachers and finding those teachings and empowering yourself to become an activist in being able to take those teachings and present and putting them into your own life, putting them into practice in your own daily life and using that practice and using your breath and using ways to slow down a little bit.
Right.
And to connect. And especially when you're feeling overwhelmed or especially when you're feeling out of sorts. And I think one of the greatest things that has helped me in all of this, and I did talk about this last time a lot, and I may talk about it forever, is self-talk.
Yes.
Is truly about understanding that what we're saying here today, for me, takes the pressure off, but it's also maybe a new thing that you're hearing. Mm-hmm. And so play with it. You know, try it on for size. Maybe just start. How does it feel for you? How does it feel like, okay, am I even looking for a purpose? Some people aren't even looking for a purpose. So that may not even be in your mind.
Right.
But actually start getting connected with what am I thinking? What do I really want? You know, and what is happening inside of me or what is happening in my life right now that might bring me a little bit more satisfaction, that might bring me a little bit more self-soothing of feeling like, yeah, this feels good to me. This matters to me in this moment.
I love that.
I don't know. I just feel like doing something ordinary. I always say the ordinary moments of our day are extraordinary.
Yes, you do say that often.
So trying to be very open to what is ordinary, not trying to have this major, purposeful, spiritual, inner, passionate life, but trying to take all the practices that we've talked about and these things that we can start to do and make the ordinary days of our lives meaningful and deep and magical, and that's our purpose.
Yeah.
Like your ordinary day is your purpose, which is what Elizabeth Gilbert shared with us. So
yeah.
I don't know if this helps.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure,
but I do know that for me it has taken the pressure off.
Yeah.
As I said, whatever happens in the day, is a good thing. I mean, is a good thing of how I've responded. I've done the best that I possibly can.
Right.
And that's enough. And I am enough. And yeah. We all are enough.
And as you were talking, this came to me because I think often when we hear and think about purpose and having big life goals or big life dreams or lofty visions for our lives, it can feel vulnerable and scary to share that with others. And you often talk about the importance of the company that we keep and just having a supportive circle and community, which of course is so important. But as you were talking just now, that concept from Brené Brown came to my mind of being discerning with who you share your dreams or your goals or your wishes or your truth with, especially if it's in a new stage or in a scary stage where self-doubt or fear are close to you, because you could have people that would say, that's crazy. Why would you do that? I don't think that's a good idea. Or, ew, that's not someone's purpose. That's not real. Or any of those blocks or hindrances that could really squash someone who is in a new stage of purpose or creativity or passion or ideas. And so just keep in mind and cultivate the discernment of who you share these personal parts of your life with. And if you're in a vulnerable stage or an uncertain stage, like really guard that and protect that and feel compassionate with that part of you until you're ready to expand and open it up to the larger population of the world.
I love that. I have a 3-point thing that I live by.
Okay.
And it was one of my teachers that taught me this. Find your practice.
Yes.
And practice it. Whatever that is, it's one daily practice that is not an external practice, but kind of an inner practice that gets you connected to, you know, your feelings, you know, who you are and all those things. So find your practice and practice it every day. Be disciplined and do that one thing every day. Find your teacher, find the teachings, find the books, find the people that resonate with you, that, you know, that set your heart on fire or that open you up or that, wow, I really want to know more about this. I want to know how to be present, like I just shared. So find your teaching, find your teacher, and follow them and read them. And not just one. I've read thousands.
Right.
Like, be open to so many, because not only one teacher may have everything that you're looking for.
Right.
So be open to many. And then find your community, which you're talking about, Michelle. Mm-hmm. Find your community of people and join them. And know that you can set boundaries with people that, as you were saying, that aren't necessarily, you know, your biggest cheerleaders or in alignment with what you're doing, but find your community and feel comfortable there. Mm-hmm. Feel that you can open up and that they're a trustworthy group of people or one person even that you can share things with. Those are the three things that I've found that have really helped me in life a lot. Having those three anchors, I like to call it like a three-legged stool.
Yep.
Like a stool can't wobble the stool really can't fall down unless you kick it down. I mean, it's got to be a disaster, but it kind of is a balancing, sturdy, steady way. If you've got those three things, even if it's just a little bit every single day in your life, it matters.
I love that. I'm so glad you shared that three-prong practice, because you do talk about that for as long as I can remember, and it is a huge part of your life.
Yeah.
So to close, I hope that this conversation has been helpful for our listeners and just helping everyone navigate purpose and, like we said, if nothing else, take the pressure off. Know that you're doing the best you can, like you said, each moment of life, and give yourself grace and self-compassion. It's a messy world, and being a human is complicated and messy. And so none of us are doing it perfectly. None of us are going to win at life. And we're all just doing the best we can. And I really loved this quote from Julia Cameron, who I referenced before, who wrote The Artist's Way. Because I really feel like this encapsulates everything that we've said today. In times of pain, when the future is too terrifying to contemplate and the past is too painful to remember, I've learned to pay attention to right now. The precise moment I was in was always the only safe place for me.
Wow.
So something to think about.
Wow.
I know that. I will be contemplating that.
Yeah.
But it
this
goes
precise moment that I'm in was always the safe,
a safe place, place for me.
Wow. I love it.
So yeah, the present moment right here, right now is where our purpose lies. And where can we find what we are being called to do moment to moment?
Thank
you. Powerful.
Love it.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank
you. Love you.
Love you.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.